to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5, 35 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning. Still to come, Pete Rehm and Dan Gaynor from the Media Research Center. Stick around for that. 251-343-0106 if you would like to discuss anything we are talking about this morning. Obviously, the two big topics, Speaker McCutcheon not seeking re-election in 2022 means we will get a new House Speaker. And then also this pseudo-controversy at the USS Alabama, Donald Trump being denied the opportunity to speak there by the Battleship Commission. They didn't want to have a partisan event. Is it a partisan event or is it? And why have there been partisan events in the past? All that and more to discuss. Like I said, feel free to weigh in on that. But joining us now, very excited to bring on my next guest. Very nice of him to come on whenever we ask. We always appreciate it. State Representative Steve McMillan of Foley joins us on the line. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you, sir, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for coming on. I guess the big news, you have decided you will not seek re-election next year. Discuss that a little bit. Tell us what led to that decision and, you know, what you hope to get out of, you know, your time remaining in office.
The speaker won up to me. That's what everybody will be talking about, which is great. For years, Jeff, and you probably heard me say it, people ask me how much longer I'm going to serve, and my typical response is that the first morning I wake up and we're in session, and I'm having to pack to go to Montgomery saying, golly, I wish I didn't have to do this. I felt like that would be a good indication it was time to hang up spurs. So we made that decision. My wife's put up with a lot for a long time, and I think we've done the right thing. Catch up on some. I hope stay in public service in some capacity. The Lord hadn't revealed that yet, but you know, it's in His hands. Because I would like to continue to do something to contribute to the public good. But the main thing is just after almost 42 years, I can tell you from any point on the interstate. Within 5 minutes of when I'll be home from any place on the interstate. I made a lot of trips up and down that road.
That stretch between Mobile and Montgomery, I imagine a lot of you guys that work between the two know it very well. It's not exactly the most, I'd say, a scenic stretch of highway, but tell us this. Obviously, your seat's going to be open. What would you... How would you advise anybody that would run for your seat in the legislature? What advice would you give them?
Stay in touch with your constituents. Return phone calls as promptly as possible, or emails, whatever the communication might be. I think that's the main thing, because I can tell you that 90% of the people, when I call, I try to call somebody back within 30 minutes to an hour, day or night. I talked to an attorney last night at 8:30. So the main thing, I think, is staying in touch with your constituents, responding to their communication promptly. I can't tell you, probably 90% of my constituents, when I returned a phone call, they say, oh, is this Mr. McMillan? I didn't expect to even hear from you. And they appreciate staying in touch. And most of them have legitimate complaints that we can help them with. We take the time.
Well, tell me, you know, that is a that district you're in. I mean, it's anticipated. It already has grown a lot. It's anticipated to just really, really skyrocket here, you know. Well, what do you think it's going to look like, you know, in the next few years, and just how important is, you know, being that voice in Montgomery for that district going to be?
You're exactly right. It's the only district that has the same kind of geographic, demographic information that somewhat similar to Dauphin Island, but the two islands are totally different. You've got everything from fishing interest to you name it, a lot of varied interest, and that takes some doing to stay on top of the matters that the constituents have problems with, from federal issues to state and local.
It just seems you will have a, I don't know, the demographics there, are they changing? That's a very unique part of the state. Maybe it's a little older, a lot of retirees, you know, that, but you've got these growing pains. We had the mayor of Orange Beach on, need another bridge over the canal there, over the intercoastal waterway. A lot of needs you're going to need a partnership with the state to meet.
Absolutely.
Well,
we've got everything from the yuppies, and I don't say that in a derogatory way, to the old timers that still live on the island. Some of them are moving, though. The traffic's just gotten too much for them to handle.
It's changing day by day, but let's talk about some of the things that are going on now. You still got one more year left in the legislature, but between this next session and right now, I think we're going to see a flurry of special sessions. Well, I say a flurry, maybe one or two. We certainly know we got to have one for reapportionment, but this prison situation is very curious. What happens next with it? Could we see something for gambling? Maybe, you know, there's these outstanding issues that need to be resolved. Also, federal funding for COVID-19 has got to be looked at. What do you anticipate over the next few months? Where do you see this going?
We've got a lot of good programs going. The broadband internet is going to be a real plus for us. Last week, I attended a conference with them, and we've been contacting other states to see what they are doing to be sure we're doing the kinds of things that be effective, and found out, lo and behold, that there's nobody else in this country that we've found so far that's doing it the way we're doing it, and it looks like we're going to be the model for the rest of the country. So that pleases me that Alabama is taking the lead again, like we have in pre-kindergarten and other areas where we kind of the bell cow, so to speak, that lead the herd. As far as my personal interest, human trafficking is going to be a big item with me.
What do you anticipate? How do you anticipate this whole prison situation playing out in the legislature? It's not too far from where we're at right now. I know Escambia County, this will have an impact, but I don't know. Whenever I talk to your colleagues and I get them on radio, we have discussions, and I say, well, what do you think the prospects are? Well, we're going to have to do something. But just having been a watcher of the legislature, at least this quadrennium, there's no reason to believe, because you quote-unquote have to do something, that they're going to be able to muster up the support and get the votes needed to do whatever that may be. And I just think you've got a lot of moving parts and pieces here that need to be held account, need to be accounted for. And are you optimistic that eventually a resolution can be reached through an act of the Alabama legislature?
I don't think, not between now and the end of this term. But like you say, they're moving parts and lots of them, and they're very complicated. They're in state, out of state. It's going to be tough. And I'm not sure anybody will take it on in an election year unless they don't intend on coming back. The lottery is popular, as you well know, but the rest of it creates issues that I think are going to be very difficult to address in an election year.
And that's, you know, that's something we don't mention enough, that some of your colleagues are going to be really reluctant to take the pledge on one of these hard votes, especially prisons. Not exactly a very popular thing to support, but particularly in that fourth year of a quadrennium, historically, you don't do very, very big things, you know. So I don't know where this goes, but there do seem to be a lot of question marks outstanding.
It's going to take some tough negotiations, and I think it's going to be just too a mountain too high to climb during an election. Yeah, that's the key. People come up there the first year of the quadrennium, particularly the newly elected ones, and they've got all these people that when they were campaigning said, oh, I got a suggestion about this particular thing or whatever. And that freshman particular legislator says, well, I'll introduce a bill, pass it, and we'll take care of that. Well, you and I know it doesn't work quite that way. And we have a lot of bills introduced in the first year of the quadrennium, but it diminishes as the time goes on. And then, like you said, in the fourth year of the quadrennium, it's a big difference in what gets done and what doesn't.
Now that we got a sort of influx with leadership here, a new speaker coming in potentially, here's the question I would pose. A lot of the candidates, a lot of the names you're hearing out there, there are a couple of exceptions, it does seem the front runner, the majority leader, to be Speaker of the House would be Nathaniel Ledbetter. We don't know that to be the case necessarily, but this traditional divide between North Alabama and South Alabama, and you look at North Alabama right now, they got the lieutenant governor, they got the attorney general, they got the speaker. I guess kind of sort of the pro tem is from North Alabama-ish, from Walker County. The south part of the state, the southern half of the state, with the exception of maybe Chairman Klaus in your body of the general fund and the general fund chair in the Senate with Greg Albritton, I mean, you don't have you don't have a lot of the clout in the southern half of the state. Has that been something that's been on your radar over the years?
Yes, but it fluctuates. If you go back and look at the appointments to chairmanships and committees that Speaker Hubbard did, that whole thing flips. He was kind to South Alabama probably than most any speaker since I've been there. Not that I think they made any attempt to not give influential positions in like committee chairs and vice chairs and minority leaders and so forth. But Mike exceeded all of them. People can say what they want to about him, but he was good to South Alabama. He still got some of that left over, some of the committee chairs, some of the, like Victor Gaston, for example, the pro tem. He's been there a while now and initially was put in that position by Speaker Hubbard. We just have to wait and see how it shakes out. I think it has more to do with the individual and that individual's character than it does an organized South End versus North End or whatever.
Yeah, but it's funny because sometimes when you go out to eat and when you guys are in session, you do kind of see that the South Alabama guys all hanging out and the North Alabama guys all hanging out from time to time. But, I mean, that has historically been a problem that this part of the state down here feels like a runaway province or is treated as such. And we've seen it, the BP oil spill money, this toll bridge. And I'm sure there's countless examples that predate that they just don't feel like they're as in the mix. But it's just because of this perception, perhaps.
I think that's more it. I think the relationships that you build as individuals friend about it was telling me last night. I had forgotten about it. That one of the bills that I had sponsored that had to do with the state parks, and there was a young legislator on the floor that was having a lot to say about it, stuff he didn't know about. And according to my acquaintance, he said I went over and almost took him by the collar and told him this was too important for the entire state to sit down and shut up. And he did. I'm surprised he didn't punch people.
Anyway, well, very bold of you there, Representative.
But sometimes you have to do that. But anyway, he was laughing about that. And the fact that I have always tried to look out for my constituents, and in his opinion, for the most part, have done a good job.
Representative, we're up against a break here, but best of luck to you in the future. I'm sure we're going to have you on again, but I would say, I guess, congratulations on the announcement. Maybe you get a little free time and you could spend some leisure time. Anyway, I think one of the best districts in the state. But thanks for making time for us this morning.
Anytime. Glad to do it.
That was State Representative Steve McMillan on the line there. He is not running for re-election. I guess the next question is, if not Representative McMillan, then who is going to who's going to run for that? That ought to be a certainly wide open race, depending on how many names get in, and the same for Representative Shiver's seat in the north part on Bay Minette and north part of Baldwin County. That a couple of high profile seats up for grabs there in Baldwin County. So anyway, we will keep an eye on that as well, because I'm sure they are scrambling to try to figure out getting their campaigns together and just which way that's going, how that's going to shake out. Anyway, 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. Still to come on the program, Pete Ream, that's in the next hour, and for the Media Research Center, Dan Gaynor. We got to get a break in here. We will be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.